Hello, and welcome to Tell Me About Your Song, the podcast where I talk to musicians and songwriters about a song they've written. Today's guest is Will from Haunt the House, and the song he'll be talking about is from his album Rural Introspection Study Group and is named Eden. So what would you like to say about the song, Will?
To be honest with you, I mean, I was wondering whether or not I would be able to talk about the song and do it justice. Because it is so personal, it's harder for me to put into words that make coherent sense, I think, to other people, because I'm very emotionally driven. Mm-hmm. And a lot less choleric, where things are ordered and make a little bit more sense. I seem to be very absent-minded, and so a little bit more, you know, emotionally driven. So when I'm trying to explain something, I feel like I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Know what I mean? You get it? Because it's so personal, and because I know I've seen people's reactions to it, and everyone always asks me about it when I finish a set with it. Deserve some sort of explanation. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually not one to like say, okay, well, I'm the guy behind the curtain, and if you pull the curtain, now you know the secrets. You know, mm-hmm. I usually try to stay away from that, because I think there's a part of performing where the curtain's got to be up. But this song to me was too important to, this is a good opportunity to say something important about a song that means a lot to me and that I feel could be important to somebody else.
Yeah, in one of the YouTube videos I saw, I mean, I feel like this is kind of a magical thing when you see it happen. People are listening, but there's some noise. People mm-hmm. are like talking a little bit. And then as the song grows, everyone just goes dead silent and is completely wrapped. And it's something that is kind of rare. Like, it's difficult to capture an audience in that way. But that was definitely happening in that YouTube video. And this seems like a song that could have that effect.
I hope so. I mean, I remember sitting in my car when I was very young. I was probably just after I got married the first time. Mm-hmm. I was 20, and I was listening to Debaser by the Pixies. And even back then, I didn't really start seriously writing music until much later, but I remember thinking, I want to make people feel the way that these people are making me feel. And that's my goal. I can't speak for everyone who's a musician, but I think if I'm not doing that, I may be entertaining, but I'm not hitting the full potential. I picked this song because of what it means to me and the response I get from other people. I feel like it's a very complicated song lyrically, but in actuality, the theme is very simplistic in nature. For a while, I struggled with whether or not I was actually going to sing the song ever in front of anyone.
Right. Yeah.
I actually hadn't had the words figured out completely, but one night at an open mic, I actually did sing, and they were the wrong lyrics. I think there might be an embarrassing YouTube video somewhere about it.
I did go looking.
Yeah. I hope you don't find it.
So you say that it's got a simple theme. So mm-hmm. how would you describe that theme?
Loss, separation from God, and love. So, what I do is I record on my phone for a little while. You know, I record mm-hmm. pieces of songs, and I'll go back to them and review them and see what fits and what doesn't. And I had recorded this a number of times, and maybe a few years ago, and I had forgotten about it. And a little over a year ago now, I came back to this chord progression, and I had lyrics that fit the mood when I first started writing the song. And I had forgotten completely about the previous recordings I had made. So I came up with this song, and I was very excited about it. When I came back to it and put these pieces together, the lyrics and the melody, from that point, I really thought of it as a conversation and a dialogue. So, you know, your dialogue and your conversation with someone doesn't always have the same cadence. You know, it has a dramatic pause, and it has quick parts where you're talking about something very mm-hmm. important, and you're speaking quickly. And so I felt that was necessary to put into the song.
Was there a particular verse that you remember writing first?
I don't know if you can call it a verse. They also kind of flow together. But I think it's the third or fourth line. It says, "What was that that you did to make me understand that I was born in the fires and coals of the curvature of your hand. I remember writing that and thinking, this may not be the best poetry in the world, but it sure feels right. Mm-hmm. And I moved from there and expanded the rest of the song from that line. We were walking in the garden where the sun rose every day, where the mossy stone and the beehive sung with its honey put away. We would walk. You were feasting with a charlatan as a serpent spit its breath, and you were moving with some ill intent that would lead us both to death. You would move. You a hallowed place, transfigured on the mount, and I was sleeping with my brothers neath a broken tree trunk, and I was nobody, you somebody, and you showed me how to live. Oh, whoa, whoa. What was that you did to make me understand that I was formed in the fires and coals of the curvature of your hand? I was born. Woe is me, I'm drowned, for I'm underwater, and you in darkness sleep in the hallways and the corridors, and all I had came floating back when the waves broke round my feet. Yeah, that's the first part of the song. First half of the song is my dialogue with God, and there's one line that says, you were weeping transfigured on the mount, and I was sleeping with my brothers under a broken tree trunk. That's in reference to Christ's obvious transfiguration on the mount, and the disciples are sleeping, and they're missing out on this incredible divine happening that's taking place, and they are, in essence, separated from divinity of God, and I wanted that. I felt like that was me. Mm-hmm. To me, that drives a lot of my music, and I picked Eden to talk about because of that reason. You know, I feel like up until this point, this song is sort of indicative of specifically that whole album. I know the name's a little awkward, but Rural Introspection Study Group for me is sort of what I do when I need to clear my head. When my heart is heavy, I kind of go out into the woods and I just pray and meditate and be introspective. And I just, you know, I need to be in that presence and that mindset. So this song, that the first half of that song is that, you know, it's just a direct representation of how I'm feeling when I'm in that frame of mind. And I've had quite a colorful last 10 or 12 years, without sounding too crazy.
Do tell.
Yeah. I don't think I would be playing music. I know I wouldn't be playing music if those things hadn't happened, if I hadn't made the decisions that I had made to bring myself to a point of this total and utter yielding, you know, and just saying, I can't do anything else to make my life any better. I've done everything that I can. These things have happened. I brought myself here, and now I'm just going to sing about it. And I'm very grateful for all those things. And it's a beautiful thing to look back and see where I was and know that I'm doing something that I love, you know, and just mm-hmm. writing this music. And I just hope that I can somehow touch somebody else, you know, and be a blessing to them, you know, and just be able to entertain even.
Sure, sure.
So.
You consider yourself a Christian then?
I do. I hold on to very basic tenets of Christianity. I think a lot of it gets muddied within the Christian community itself, and I think we do a lot to shoot ourselves in the foot when expressing this deep-seated inner peace and joy that I've come to know. And it may not be the same for everyone, and I think that if they're searching, it can get pretty convoluted, and people misunderstand. But yeah, I do. I really identify with it, and it's something that is a root in my life and that will never be absent.
So it starts out with this garden imagery.
It's a very biblical reference to the happenings in the Garden of Eden, but personally for me, it was about my similar decisions to ignore heedings of wisdom from God that I knew to be right. And, you know, I brought myself to a point where I had learned to live somewhat by faith. You know, I didn't really know what that meant because I sort of just went through the motions of being a Christian. But then looking back on the decisions that I made, I got married very young, and twice I got married very young. And there were some times I look back and see where God's hand was leading me and the times that I ignored that and where that has brought me. And so that dialogue that about the garden is me longing to go be back where I was. You know, sometimes I think, well, have I ever really gotten there? Maybe I haven't. And I think that I'm always longing for that.
Yeah.
I think it's just, for me, it's an ideal to long for that is the sorrow. It is also the joy to search for it and to continually reach for that place. This song is very close mm-hmm. to my heart.
Sure. The song kind of, you know, the woe is me, I am drowning. That's where it really... I mean, it's pretty intense all the way through, but that is pretty intense.
This song incorporates two really important themes in my own life. I had been divorced twice, actually, and it was very heavy. The second time was particularly devastating to me, and so the second half of the song is about that happening, and I'm speaking with not necessarily my ex at that point, but directing in that manner. You know, so can relate to other people who have been through similar situations. That line, woe is me, I'm drowning, for I am underwater. And you and darkness sleep in the hallways and the corridors. It's an exasperated calling out. It's like, you know, here I am. I'm in dire need of help. And I feel like you're sleeping now. Where have you gone? And then that's where that makes a transition. And it makes the transition directly to my experiences with what brought me to this lament, being separated from God and being separated from love in my relationship and with God. So that transition is talking about the divorce and second divorce. And it's not just about my ex-wife, it's about my son as well. It encompasses that whole sense of loss. And not that I've lost them completely, because I haven't in their blessing, but right. Just the idea that here's this family and now it's not what you thought. It's hard for me to talk about. It's easier for me to sing, believe it or not.
No, I mean, that's why you write a song, yeah. right? And yeah. That's why you don't write an essay.
That's right.
After that, all that love in the playing grass when the sun drew shadows long, I was to choke on the fire and smoke from the elm tree to your soul.
That whole section, from the elm tree to your soul, that's a reference to a plot of land we used to live on. And I don't want to get too personal about facts and stuff, but the poetry and the images in those lyrics are literal.
I got you.
So,
all right, we can kind of leave it at that.
And give me a disclaimer. I love everyone that is mentioned in the song, and I don't have any ill will towards anyone. It's just something that
Well, it's a you definitely have moments of frustration with anyone. No matter how much you love them, and particularly in a trying time. And then it ends, our love was what it was 10 years ago, if it could only be. I was you and you were me, nothing could worry us. We were young and careless, but most important, free. I guess that's sort of a symmetry in the song. You start with the vision of the garden.
Yeah.
And then you end with this vision of, you know, the younger you.
Yeah.
And then the chord holds for a while and then it resolves. And that's the end of the song.
Over a period of months, the last couple of verses had changed a number of times before I sang in front of anyone. You know, the essay diamond that you learn about in school. You start with a point, you end with a point, and you fill out the body.
Hmm.
I try to do that. Sometimes it doesn't work, depending on the song and where the song's leading. But for this instance, it did. I mean, it is about loss and separation from love. And it needs to be that. It can't really wander too much. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that after a few times that I had sung it, and I felt satisfied with it. And I rarely am satisfied. I feel like songs are sort of like kids. You know, you raise kids, and they're certainly not done, you know, at 18. Yeah. And you let them go, and you don't know what's, you know, we're never done as humans, but you got to let them go. You know, at some point, you just got to sing them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Something that I like about how it's structured, you know, like the first two sections, ending "we would walk" and "we would move," those are very similar in tempo and melody and everything. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to vary more and more. You go into the high register, which is always like just sends chills down my spine. Are these things that you consciously decide to try, or is this...
For me, when I'm writing a song, specifically this one is more of a physiological thing, if that makes any sense. Going along with the idea of like it being a certain shape, starting with a point, ending with a point, that I really wanted the conversation to be dramatic at the climax where it should be and diminish where it should. That's a physical thing. I always say this, and I think people are taken aback by it. I don't consider myself a musician, because technically I don't think I'm extraordinarily gifted. But for me, I do recognize that I'm able to physically explain through song what I want and what I'm feeling, and that's my focus when I write songs. I always sort of start performing this with that idea. I'm singing the song, but I'm not just singing it. I am it. Mm-hmm. My body is it. I become the song.
So if people want to hear more Haunt the House music, what should they do?
If you want to download the first album, it is haunthehouse.bandcamp.com.
And you have another album. What's its status?
It's going into mastering. I'm sort of back to work. I'm in this slogging mode, you know. I had a really good time recording at the Columbus Theater. Mixes are just about there. And it's just the shopping around for someone to master. And then putting the packaging together, the artwork's coming along fantastically. I have pins that I put out, so if you want to see an example of that artwork, they're on my Facebook page as well. And but yeah, so haunthehouse.bandcamp.com.
All right, and keep an eye out for the new album.
Yep.
And if people want to see you perform, is there a place where they can find out when and where you'll be?
Yep, same place. Bandcamp will post the event through the Google Calendar that they have set up, and then I'll also post them on my Facebook, my personal page, and the Haunt the House page.
Great. My name's Jacob Haller. My website is at music.jwgh.org if you want to hear my own music or see when my shows are. There's also a blog for the podcast on Tumblr. It's at yoursongpodcast.tumblr.com, and I'll post show notes and links to all the things Will talked about. And there's also a page on Facebook. Search for Tell Me About Your Song on Facebook and you'll find it. You can like it. I'll post there whenever there's a new episode or whenever I find something that I think people might be interested in. The podcast is also on iTunes. You can find it there and subscribe if you're not already subscribed, and rate and review it there if you would like to say something nice and help other people find it. Thanks for listening. We're going to go out by listening to Haunt the House's song Eden from the album Rural Introspection Study Group. Thanks for listening.
We were walking in the garden where the sun rose every day, where the mossy stone and the beehive sung, with its honey put away, we would walk. We were feasting with a charlatan as a serpent spit its breath, and you were moving with some ill intent that would lead us both to death. You would move. the hallowed place, transfigured on the mount. And I was sleeping with my brothers near the broken tree trunk. And I was nobody, you were somebody, and you showed me how to live.
Like I'm talking about this song more than I should. I should be getting you to talk about it.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.